wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for The Half-Blood Prince with...
Jaya Shrestha.
Michael DeMauro.
And I'm Sarah Tompkins. This week, we cover Chapter 5, An Excess of Phlegm. We talk about the Leaky Cauldron, because why not? And the Quidditch Cup rages on.
Episode 5. It is so close. It's crazy. I've got 3 points. These other two chuckleheads have 2 each. Woof. It is going down to the wire here. Episode 5.
How many episodes do we have for this first half of the cup?
15.
15.
Oof. We're almost that means we're a third of the way through. Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah.
We're just cruising along. I feel like usually it doesn't go this fast. Is it because we're all like actually in it right now?
It's because this book has very few chapters.
Yeah.
That's probably also it too.
Last season had like, the last book was so long. Chapters.
Yeah, because
and this
J.K.
one
this only has like 20 something. Yeah.
Right. She forgot that an editor exists for book five.
This one only has like 30, so.
Right.
It's better for us. Also worse.
All right, it's me and Sarah.
Sarah, do it.
Okay, I'm ready.
What is the name of the house elf that Harry inherits from Sirius?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, damn, that was close. I don't know.
Chat room?
I can't
chat,
help you.
Yeah, I think I need a chat vote.
That's hard.
That was almost exactly at the same time.
Michael, 100%.
Let's wait for
other
people. Michael
in the chat? Okay.
By a full second. Okay, it says Michael, whatever.
Okay, all right, Michael.
Well, okay.
It's Creature.
It is Creature.
What if you heard the question a full second ahead of me because you're going faster? I heard myself.
Look,
go
it's an
before
imperfect
you.
System.
Oh,
I
sure,
actually
sure.
heard you both like at the same time, so I can't like disagree.
This is why I like the chat, so. Yeah,
if I they all say okay. It was me. I, you know,
sure.
I'm sure Sarah heard it for it. It's
Sarah Bear, you're with me now.
I'm ready. I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm going to use that rage fire to fuel me.
Okay, Sarah Majaya, what is the new name given to Buckbeak? God, that was another one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to say... Sarah by like a hair, but I don't
know. Wow.
Chat.
Okay.
Help
I guess
me out, please.
We got one Sarah, we got two Sarahs, three Sarah
yeah,
Sarahs.
Sarah. I heard okay, myself Sarah. First.
I thought it was Bajaya, but you know.
Witherwings.
Yes. Correct.
Nice. I keep wanting to call him Weatherby, but it's Witherwings.
No, that's what Barty Crouch
that's
called.
That's what he calls
Percy.
Because
Percy Weasley is the worst. We can all agree.
That's worse.
You can say that again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Episode 5 in the books. We got Vijaya with 2, Sarah with 3, and Michael with 4.
Boo! Boo, Michael, boo, boo, boo.
It's close.
Boo.
It's tight.
Boo! Chapter 5, An Excess of Phlegm. So Harry and Dumbledore have arrived at the Burrow, and apparently they weren't supposed to get there until the next morning, because when they knock on the door, they scare the bejesus out of Mrs. Weasley. She was like, you weren't supposed to be here yet! And Dumbledore's like, well, Harry was just so good at convincing Slughorn that he needed to teach, but this just we just got here even faster. But that also means that because Dumbledore did not owl ahead that they were going to be early, that he has interrupted Mrs. Weasley talking to Tonks. So Tonks is there. She, you know, does her regular cheery hellos, but Harry notices that she doesn't really look all that good, which is not a very nice thing to notice, Harry. You should maybe not. I mean, he doesn't say anything, so that's, you know, wise. He just commented on Dumbledore's crispy hand. Thank God he didn't say anything about Tonks. her usually pink hair is now mousy brown, which they're saying like it's a bad thing, but mousy brown hair is very normal. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying. But Tonks, you know, says her hellos, and then she's like, I gotta skedaddle. I have some work to do. I need to do some order business. Molly tells her that she should stay, and she says, no. Thanks, Molly, for the tea and sympathy. So apparently Mrs. Weasley is a shoulder upon which she cries or talks. And then she apparates out. And Dumbledore also says, you know what, like, I gotta go too. So peace. And he pieces. Then it's just Harry and Mrs. Weasley. And Mrs. Weasley, of course, is lamenting that Harry is too skinny. And she starts making him food. She says that he and Ron both look like they've been stretched out. And all these things, like growth spurts. I don't know. She's being very mothering, which is very lovely. Harry sits down at the table, is waiting for, you know, his food, when Crookshanks jumps onto his lap. So he's like, oh, Hermione is here? Yeah. And she says, yeah, she's here. She got here yesterday. It's really great. And he's very happy about that. And Mrs. Weasley asks Harry about Slughorn. And she's like, yeah, how was it? How'd it go? What do you think? Harry's pretty non-committal about the whole thing. He's kind of like, yeah, he's fine.
It's very diplomatic. Yeah. I got it.
Mrs. Weasley kind of agrees. She actually seems to not be super crazy about Slughorn because she says that he kind of plays favorites and grooms his favorite students. And Arthur was not one of his favorite students. And so he didn't treat him all that well. Mm. But You know what? Shows him because Arthur just got promoted.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah. He went and he said, Mr. Scrimgeour, I demand a 5% raise. I should get better health insurance, and I want 3 extra days of vacation. You know, he didn't do it.
They probably didn't have to do the health insurance.
Oh, goddamn, I keep forgetting that. The healthcare thing is just like American. Okay. No, he didn't do any of that. But for some reason, they have started I don't know if it's clear if they started or if they've just expanded this office that Mr. Weasley is now heading, which is the office.
I bet Michael can tell us what the office is.
It's the office for the is it detection and confiscation of counterfeit defensive spells.
Fuck yourself.
Protective objects.
I hate you so much.
All right, I'm texting Carly right now to go stab him really fast.
Just a quick little stab. That's fine.
That's all we want.
That's all we need.
Yeah, no, that's what he's heading. And I actually have a note to say, which is a great thing to remember, honestly. But guess what? Some of us have lives and don't remember that. Okay.
Wow.
But anyway, Zing. So apparently he is heading this office because all sorts of odd things are appearing on the market. You know, all sorts of like potions that say they protect you from the Dark Lord. You know, charms are supposed to like make you invisible. All of these things that are essentially just snake oil. They're just on the market appealing to fear and making people feel safe when they're actually harming them. So just last week, apparently Arthur confiscated cursed sneakoscopes. So there you go.
Yikes.
Yeah, not great. It seems like everybody, even in the wizarding world, will try and capitalize on fear because it's an easy emotion to appeal to. In fact, Mr. Weasley has been working really late at the office recently, and he's supposed to be coming home, but at this point he's running late. Mrs. Weasley is kind of getting worried, and she looks over to her trusty clock, you know, the one that has all the hands on it, that tells where everybody is and what they're doing, and like, I've always actually kind of wondered if we talk about that, like, is it, how specific does it get? I don't know. Anyway, because I feel like that could be bad. Anyway, so she looks over and literally every single hand is on mortal peril. And she says, well, everyone is on mortal peril every day now because of the Dark Lord, or she says, you know who, which kind of makes sense. But then all of a sudden, Mr. Weasley's arm goes to traveling. So apparently he's presumably on his way home. He arrives very shortly after. And when
I'm being attacked.
Oh, it's because of we asked.
Did you get stabbed?
It's because we asked. He's being stabbed. He's being stabbed. Just a little bit.
It wasn't a stabbing. It was more of a foot tickling.
Damn it. Carly, it was supposed to be a stab. Dang it.
She's Canadian. What can I say?
That's
she's
true. Foot tickling. You should have gone
stabbing people.
You should have gone higher because like their scale, Canadian scale, is way off. Like stabbing is just a foot tickling. So you would have to go to like decapitation, and then she'd like poke him.
Damn it.
Next time.
Next time. So anyway, so Mr. Weasley then knocks on the door, and Molly asks him. She's like, "Oh, is it you, Arthur?" And he's like, "Yes, but you have to ask me the question." And she's like, "No, I know it's you. You can come in." And he's like, "No. You have to ask me the question. We have to do the question thing." And she's like, "Do we really have to?" And Harry already feels awkward. And she asks Mr. Weasley, "What is your dearest ambition?" Which is apparently to learn how airplanes stay up, which, you know, he could probably read.
Dearest ambition.
But I'm not going to tell him that. And then the question in return that he asks Mrs. Weasley is, "What do you like me to call you when we're alone together?" And Harry's already embarrassed because it's real sexy. Because it's a Molly Wobbles.
I think it's a cute, but also kind of sexual.
Both. It's both. But I guess he appreciates the wobble, which is nice. I don't know. And so embarrassedly, she lets him in, and he's happy to see Harry. But Harry's really tired, and Mrs. Weasley's like, "I gotta go to bed. You're going to Fred and George's room. It's all for you." And he's like, "Where are Fred and George? Are they okay?"
Get out of here.
And she's like, "Oh yeah, no, they're totally great. They're in Diagon Alley. They're living it up. Their business is
they're dead. Fire.
They have died." And she just looks him in the face. No, they're at Diagon Alley. They're doing great. They have Weasel's Wizard Weezes, and it's apparently really good. And even Mrs. Weasley admits they're good at this, like, joke shop business thing. It's their calling. So Harry goes to bed. He finds some sort of puking pusty or whatever in his pillow right before he goes to bed. And he's like, "Oh, this is so comforting." And he falls asleep. And then he's woken up very enthusiastically by Ronald Weasley, who is very happy to see Harry. Hermione is also there. She's a little bit more demure. She's not quite as enthusiastic. Not, you know, hitting Harry across the head in the way that Ron is. I think she, you know, or at least Harry thinks that she maybe is trying to be cognizant of the fact that he lost Sirius, but she seems to be very gentle with him. Harry tells Ron and Hermione all about Slughorn because they're asking where Dumbledore went with him. And he says, "Oh, we went to Slughorn." They're like, "Oh yeah, we were thinking that's totally what you were going to do." But they clearly were thinking that he and Dumbledore were going to do something else. And I'm not exactly sure. We'll find out in 2 minutes. But he tells them about Slughorn, who he apparently quote unquote convinced to be their quote unquote defense against the dark arts teacher. And they're like, "Well, that's cool. We need one. Did you like him?" He's like, "Well, he's fine. Everyone keeps asking him. He's fine." Ginny comes into the room moping because she is super duper annoyed. Who is she? Because someone is talking to her like she's a damn 3-year-old. No one wants to be patronized.
Oh, well.
Patronized? Patronized. I want to be patronized because I want people to give me money. I do not want to be patronized.
Not patronized. So. Yeah.
And she's like, she talks about she's 3 and blah, blah. And they're like, and Ron defends her. And Ron's like, "Well, you blah, 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 blah. She's really not that bad." And Hermione's like, "Well, that's because you're all over her." And Harry's like, "That's a really weird thing to say about Mrs. Weasley. I do not understand what's happening." And at that moment, into the room gracefully sweeps Miss Fleur Delacour.
Oh, wow. Yes. We haven't seen her since season 4.
Yeah, we haven't seen her since book 4, which is crazy. We haven't seen her since the Tri-Wizard Tournament. She is bringing Harry's breakfast, which obviously Mrs. Weasley has prepared, but she brings it in, Mrs. Weasley falling behind. She is genuinely very excited to see Harry. She gives him some bisous, some kisses. She's saying that, like, "Oh, her sister, Gabrielle, thinks about him all the time.
Gabrielle."
And she's so happy, and she's really glad that he can be here, especially for later in the summer, that he can be there for everything. And he's like, "Oh, what are you talking about? She's like, "Well, when me and Bill get married, of course." And he's like, "Oh, that's crazy."
What?
Yeah. And Harry, Ginny, and Mrs. Weasley are kind of doing like that thing where like you're with your friends and you're trying not to be shady about someone's girlfriend. And you're like, "This person sucks so much." But you're trying to be nice about it. They're like kind of looking at each other. And so she.
Wow. You did that with us when Michael and I were with you. Wow. That's so rude of you. I can remember that.
Yeah, I was "Who is this bungee sha-sha girl?" And so anyway, so Fleur sweeps out in a beautiful French fashion. She tells Harry that there's not much to do here unless you like chickens. And, you know, she just is pretty pleasant. I mean, she's a little bit condescending. She apparently is working part-time at Gringotts to improve her English, but that's fine. And when she leaves, Ginny's like, my mom hates her. And Mrs. Weasley's like, I don't hate her. I just think that they're rushing their relationship. And Ginny's like, well, you did elope with our dad, like, pretty fast. She goes, yeah, that's because we were meant to be together. They're not. Ginny,
they're not meant to be
that's
together?
That's what Mrs. Weasley thinks. She's pretty judgmental about it. Ginny also calls her phlegm, which is not nice. I think it's a rude comment on, one, her name, Fleur, but also the French language, which, Ginny, I don't appreciate. Both Hermione and Ginny are being very not nice. They're being very mean girls, and I'm not loving it.
Yeah, I think this whole situation is very shitty towards Fleur.
It's very shitty, and I understand the impulse to be protective of someone, but at the same time, she's, like, at this moment, she's being nothing but nice, and you also have to realize that, like, she might be condescending, but don't be a mean girl. Don't be a mean girl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had a brother-in-law that I don't really like, but I have never been, like, mean to him.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
He does not.
There you go.
But he knows that.
Oh, then there you go. Perfect. So anyway, so apparently that Molly thinks that, at least according to Ginny and Hermione, Molly wants Bill to date Tonks. And that's why she keeps inviting Tonks over. And there's lots of talk about how she's smart. And then Fleur and Harry points out that Fleur did make it into the Triwizard Tournament. So she couldn't be that stupid. And they're like, shut up, Harry. And I'm like, Harry, that's actually a pretty good point. But Ron, you know, and Ginny's like, well, at least Tonks is a laugh. She's funny and she's cool. And I agree, Tonks is really cool. She's awesome. She's a Hufflepuff. But Ron says, hey, Tonks has been a real bummer lately, so I wouldn't really want her around. And Hermione's like, Ron, it's because her cousin died. And of course, that means Sirius. And Harry's real sad again about Sirius. Hermione's saying that she thinks that Tonks blames herself for Sirius's death. And that's why she's so sad. Sad to the point, by the way, where she's having trouble doing her metamorpho spell, so she can't, like, change her hair or anything like she used to, which is why her hair is this mousy brown and not, like, the bright pink or the changing colors. And it's really sad, because she's sad. And to the point where it's affecting her magic. Then they talk about Fred and George and how successful they are. Harry asks about Percy. Obviously, that douche wank is still not talking to the family. So, that's fine. And then Harry's like, oh, hey, by the way.
Hold on. You call him a douchewank. I really like it. I just wanted to point that out. But keep going.
Thank you. And then Harry mentions, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm doing private lessons with Dumbledore. And they're like, oh, what? And, of course, there's, like, a record scratch and they stop. And Harry says, oh, well, I think it's because of the prophecy. And they're like, what are you talking about? No one heard the prophecy. He goes, oh, no. A couple of people heard the prophecy, including Dumbledore. And he told me about it. I went back into his memories, he and Trelawney. And so now I know that I think I kind of have to kill Voldemort because, you know, I can't live while he survives. and of course, that's kind of a big shocker for Hermione and Ron. They did not know that he had heard the prophecy. And I guess he was a little bit busy with Sirius's death. So, you know, they're not mad at him for not telling them. They're just very surprised. Though, by the way, in the middle of this all, Hermione ends up playing with some sort of one of the Wizards and gets punched in the eye. And it's bad. Mrs. Weasley actually, like, later tries to get rid of the black eye she has. And she just can't because it's... The charm is so good. I don't know what a charm has to do with getting, you know, your eye punched, but that's fine.
A black eye.
It's
a
special magic punch.
It's a special magic punch. Ultimate punch. Ron then says that he says to Harry, he's like, hey, you know what? I don't think that Dumbledore would put all this time and resource into training you if he thought you were a goner. You know what I mean? Like, you're clearly the Ralph Macchio in this situation. You're going to be trained and you're going to win. You're the best... You know?
All right.
Thank you. Nothing's ever going to bring you down, Harry.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, oh, thanks, guys. And he feels all warm and fuzzy because his friends are being super supportive. It's a very drastic contrast to last book where he was like, everyone hates me. They don't love me. They're keeping things from me. And now he's feeling all warm and fuzzy that Ron and Hermione are being supportive of him. And you know what? Dumbledore, in that sense, was right that he should... tell them about the prophecy because they can be there for him.
Yeah.
Then Hermione, you know, they're just talking. Hermione's like, hey, I wonder when we get our owls, our OWLs, excuse me. And Harry's like, oh yeah, Dumbledore told me that they're coming today. I forgot to mention that too.
Whoops.
Which Hermione, of course, loves. She's very worried about her ancient runes score. I mean, all of her tests, but mostly that one. She knows she failed everything. Get it? That's how I feel.
Oh my God, Hermione.
So they're waiting. She's like, Mrs. Weasley, did you see any owls coming? And she's like, no, I would have noticed if a big horde of owls had flown into my kitchen. And finally, the owls arrive. Yeah, Harry does pretty well. He even gets an outstanding in defense against the dark arts.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, dang. Right? Ron doesn't get any outstandings, but he does well, and he's really happy about it. He got 7 OWLs.
He does.
Hermione says she's done not bad. She's that friend who's like, I did okay. She got ten outstandings and 1 exceeds expectations in defense against the dark arts.
Wow. And she's all 8 pluses and 1.
She's very sad about it. But Harry actually is kind of sad about his scores, even though he knows he did well, because he didn't get the potions grade he needed to become an Auror. He really, when somebody told him that he should become an Auror, he sort of focused on that and thought it'd be a really good career for him because, you know, he's really good at defense against the dark arts and he has to fight Voldemort and he's been fighting Voldemort. So this seems like a career made for him and he really wants it. But he got an O. He needed an O and he got an E in potions.
Oh, he really fucked
up. So he got, it's a good grade, but it's just not good enough. And he's kind of sad about all of it. So that's the end of that chapter.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
So new things in this chapter. One is, there's no real new things, but one is apparently being depressed can affect your ability to perform magic, which we didn't really know before, which is an idea I kind of really like.
I can see that.
Yeah. Because I think that even though it's something like the magic is so innate to Tonks because she's able to do it and not everybody obviously is. And they mention that in the 5th book when he meets her, that she can just easily perform this magic on herself. It's something that's very innate. And even the magic is innate to wizards, but depression can even affect that, which is like an everyday aspect, like a part of your life. And being depressed can make you unable to do things that theoretically should be easy to do, should be basic functions, which I kind of think is a good idea, or at least a good sort of metaphor that JK did. It's kind of nice. I mean, it's sad, but it's nice. And then we have the OWLs, which are not new again, but we do actually get the results for the first time. And a reminder of the levels are from best to worst. You have outstanding, exceeds expectations, acceptable, poor, dreadful, and then troll, which seems very like demeaning to trolls.
It is rude to trolls.
It's very rude to trolls.
Trolls are very stupid, though.
Yeah, but you could, I mean, the other ones are literally just adjectives, and that one's like noun.
Very pointed.
Yeah. It could just be you're fucked or something like that, or a, like, do this again kind of thing. But it's like, no, troll, you're so dumb. You're the dumbest of the creatures. And it's not very nice, even if trolls are dumb. Yeah, so I didn't really actually have a lot of questions. Most of my observations were that I feel like they're being unnecessarily mean to Fleur in this chapter without a lot of evidence. And I don't like the girl-on-girl hate. Let's not do that, please. Unless someone's a real... See you next Tuesday.
Whoa.
But don't do it.
You know, when I was listening to this chapter, when I was preparing for the first half of the Quidditch Cup, I was just like, they are so mean to Fleur for no reason.
Yeah, it's just, I don't like, they call her phlegm. It's just, I mean.
And they're just like, very like passive aggressive.
Yeah.
They don't actually tell her why they're mad at her, which I guess maybe behind the scenes they could have, but.
Right, like I don't like being talked down to, but at the same time, just have they tried to talk to her? Do they? I don't know. I just feel like there's not.
Right.
Why are you so concerned about that? Why are you worried about if she's not mean to you? I just didn't appreciate it. Don't be spiteful. Just be spiteful, especially since in this situation too, it was like Harry and Ron. Well, Ron was being nice because she's pretty, which is kind of gross and shallow, and Harry was being nice because he. She was very nice to Harry. She was very grateful when he saved her sister. And she's a smart witch. She went to a good school and she got to be in the Triwizard Tournament. So she's not a dum-dum. She is a talented witch. And Harry's right. And I'm glad that he defended her. But I also don't like that it was all of the women being mean to her. And like that women have to be mean to pretty women because they feel intimidated or something. It's a weird feeling. I don't know.
I agree.
Thank you. And then my other question is, what would your security question to test to make sure the person who you think is the person who is like supposed to be at your house or the person you love, aka Mr. Weasley, coming to the household, what would your security question be to make sure the person wasn't under like Polyjuice potion or some sort of spell to disguise himself as someone else?
I have one. Oh, Jesus Christ. I have one. Mine would be, what is the breed of dog that I want the most? That I've wanted the most?
You can tell us now, and then all the people.
Can I, though?
That's a good question. That's a good point. I mean, now all the people are going to be able to tell.
I mean, putting it out there on the internet.
I never always adopt, obviously, but I've always wanted an Irish wolfhound. Like, since I was so like, a very small child.
Interesting.
And by cute, I mean they're giant.
Yeah. I've always wanted an Irish wolfhound, so that is mine.
Aw.
And I think, you too, and Josh, and maybe like a handful of people know
Not
that.
Not everybody on the internet knows
that. No.
God damn it. Michael?
Mine would be, what is Mr. Weasley's new job?
And you know what? You'd be the only person who knew that, so.
Yeah.
Trust no one.
It would absolutely work.
Yeah.
The Office of Detection and Confiscation of...
And Concentration of Potions.
Constipation. Constipation.
Encounter. Magical. Fights.
What is it? The Office of Detection and Confiscation.
Confiscation.
Well, not confiscation. Now you're making me like not be able to say it. Confiscation
of magical. I don't know.
It's dumb.
I still don't know. You literally just said it like.
No one wants to hear that.
What is it? Just say.
What
it.
You want me to say it again?
Yes.
It's the Office for the Detection and Confiscation of Counterfeit. Defensive spells and protective objects.
I hate you.
That's so dumb.
Sarah, tell us your shit because Michael is stupid and I hate him.
You know what? I asked this question and I don't actually know what the answer would be. For some reason, the first thing that came to my head was, what was I doing? What was I trying to do when I got...
After Matthew and Molly's wedding on your doorstep.
No, I was going to ask, what was I trying to do when I got the big cut on my chin? There were the 9 stitches on my chin. For some reason, that's what I thought of, because I feel like that's something that very few people know.
Hmm.
What was it?
I was going to try and sell lemonade. I didn't make it all the way down the hill, guys, to sell lemonade.
Aww.
I fell off my bike.
That's so sad.
I know. And then I was like talking to my friend Alia, and I was like, Alia, go tell my mom that I need a Band-Aid. And so that we can sell lemonade. And she was like, okay. And then when I went up there, my mom was like, you need more than Band-Aid. We can go to the hospital. I was like, no, but I got to sell lemonade.
But the lemonade.
I was very sad about it. I don't
Closers
know why.
Closers don't get stitches.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. But anyway, so those were all of my like my questions about this chapter. Unless you guys have any questions.
I don't think I do, but no. Do you wanna go learn some more about the Lee Cauldron maybe?
Yeah.
Cauldron?
Yeah, I bet they have some really good lemonade there. Probably magic lemonade.
Ooh, magic lemonade.
Where you never split open your chin.
Let's go over there. Guys,
yes.
And girl, guy and girl.
That's mm-hmm. us.
Do you know that some people argue that the oldest pub in pub. London is the White Hart on Drury Lane?
Okay.
And then other people say that it's Angel on Bermondsey Wall.
They're both wrong.
The Lamb and the Flag on Rose Street.
They're all wrong.
They're all wrong because they're fucking muggles.
What are those from? Like the 1400s?
What? Y'all, idiots. The oldest pub in London, as any wizard will tell you, is the Leaky Cauldron on Charing Cross Road.
Obviously, I knew that. I have a t-shirt that says so.
Yeah, so the Leaky Cauldron was there long before Charing Cross Road was even...
Charing Cross
like,
Road?
...existed. Charing Cross Road, that's what
no,
I said.
No, long before it was Charing Cross Road, I was saying.
Yeah, yeah. And its true address was number 1 Diagon Alley.
Ooh, number 1. It got in that IP real early, huh?
Yeah, it's believed to have been built in sometime in the early 1500s.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So then they overestimated the other pubs then.
Along with the rest of the Wizarding Institute. I would have thought it would have been like
1200s if it was a Wizarding World. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, whatever. So created some 2 centuries before the imposition of the International Statute of Secrecy, mm-hmm. the Leaky Cauldron was initially visible to the Muggles.
Oh.
Wow. So whenever this was a safe haven for witches and wizards, mm-hmm. but it was also welcoming to Muggles who just like turned in there for like a pint, I guess.
Do you think that they just thought that they were like drunk or had like ergot or something and were just like tripping balls?
Yeah. So they said that they did not turn away Muggles, but Muggles left because they were uncomfortable with the pets that were in there and the conversation that were had in the pub.
That makes sense.
So when the Statute of Secrecy was imposed, the Leaky Cauldron was granted a special dispensation to continue its existence because it was supposed to be flattened.
Why?
Whoa, why?
Because Charing Cross, the road, was supposed to go through it. But even though the Minister of Magic at that time, who was called Ferris
Bueller.
Babin,
Bueller.
God damn it. Ferris Babin, he was just like, yeah, we're going to lose this Leaky Cauldron because we just, it's the time, whatever. At the same time that he was giving his speech, the rest of the wizarding community around England banded together, maybe performed a lot of memory charms, and maybe some imperious curses to make sure that the Muggle town planners had the road go around
mm-hmm.
the pub.
Yep, which is why it's such a messed up road.
And then the Leaky Cauldron is like, yeah, we are here, and the Muggles still don't know why they planned the road where there's a gap in the middle. Hmm. They're like, yeah, this is fine.
I mean, you know, just like the M4.
Yeah. The Leaky Cauldron has changed little over the years. It's still small and dingy and welcoming. There are only a few bedrooms above the public bar for travelers who live a long way from London. And it's the ideal spot to catch up with wizarding gossip if you happen to live long away.
So you can't, like, do a staycation? They're going to be like, nah, sorry, you need to be from Finland or further. Okay.
Probably. And then her thoughts, J.K. Rowling's thoughts, are that Charing Cross Road is famous for its bookshops, both modern and antiquarian.
Antiquarian.
And this is antiquarian. This is why I wanted it to be the place where those in the know go to enter the different world.
Hipster zone.
Yep. Basically.
That's nice that they kept it.
Yeah.
They should just do what the Icelandic do, which is you have people who are like, you can't build here. There are elves here. Just have somebody planted in the government. And he's like, you can't build here. There are spirits here. And then they just won't.
Goodbye forever.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm just saying. It would have been easier than all those imperious curses. Bye. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye forever. For You're a Wizard, Harry. Our editor is Mitch Cahill. Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter @PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at 13Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at I Think Ninja.